Hi, thank you for joining us. I'm Chrissy Mernon. My guest today is Donna Musil. She is a writer and director, and she's in San Antonio screening her film, Bratz, Our Journey Home, and it's presented by Aztec on the Riverwalk and Bratz Without Borders in San Antonio. So we're going to talk about the film because San Antonio is Military City, USA, and we have over 200,000 adult military brats. And I have to say, when people come by the station and we interview them and find out where they're from, usually one out of three is a native San Antonian and the other two were born somewhere else. And I'll ask, you know, how did you wind up here? And they'll say, my dad was in the military and they retired here and decided to stay. Or there's some military connection, of course, with Lackland being a place where so many people, it's a gateway to the Air Force, people come through and many people have fond memories and come back to San Antonio. So anyway, there's a lot of people in San Antonio who are military brats who have lived all over the world, and Donna's made a film about that. So tell me your background, because you're a military brat, and really what prompted you to put together the film?
I'm an Army brat. My dad was a JAG officer, and we moved everywhere. We were all in the South and then over in Germany.
Well, let's go through your life. You were born at?
I was born in Fort Benning, Georgia, and then we moved every year until I was around 8 years old. We went to Georgia, North Carolina, Virginia, back to Georgia. By the time I was 8 years old, we had moved six times, and my father had been gone 2 years of my life in war zones into Vietnam. And then after my dad came back from Vietnam, we moved to Bad Kreuznach, Germany. And we were there 3 years, and then went to San Francisco for 2 years, then to Korea for 2 years, and then back to Fort Knox, Kentucky for a year. And then my father died when I was 16, and we left there and moved back to Georgia. So I spent my senior year at a high school, a civilian high school in Georgia.
So you graduated from a high school where you just went to school 1 year?
Yes. Okay. I had gone to three high schools.
And so, but you know, that story is typical of military brats that, you know, every other year they moved or every year they moved, the father was gone because of wars or an assignment overseas or something like that. And then the whole family got to move overseas. So there were many good things that came from that, but also some things that you didn't like.
Well, it's really interesting because I think that when you're living that lifestyle, you're just surviving. You're really not quite thinking of all these things. It's only when you grow up and, you know, are removed from that lifestyle, when you lose your ID card when you're 18 or 23, if you graduate from college, especially if you don't go back into the military. If you go back into the military, you really stay in your own culture. So there are less difficulties, you know, there's less culture shock. But I think if you grow up in the military and then you go into civilian society, there's quite a bit of culture shock because the way you grew up and the way most civilians grow up are quite different.
Well, tell me about your experience as far as your teenage years after you graduated from high school. You're now in the civilian world.
Went to University of Georgia for college, and you just kind of feel like you're different, but you don't really understand why. I think when you're growing up as a military child, they keep telling you you're just like all the other American kids. And they make a big effort to try to make your school the same, to make you feel like that you're just like all these other American children. And then when you get out of that environment and go into civilian life, you realize, I'm really not like all those kids, but you don't understand it's because that was your culture. Your culture was different. You just kind of think, oh, I'm an odd bird kind of thing.
What did you discover as an adult that you lacked or missed or was different about your childhood?
Well, number one, moving all the time. I really did. On the one hand, I really enjoyed that. I loved going to different cultures and meeting different people. One of the drawbacks to, I think, being raised a brat is you move so much that you have a lot of loss issues. I mean, every year, every 2 years, you are losing everybody you know, all your coaches, your reputation, everything you've built, you have to stop and start all over again. So I think that when you get older, you continue this cycle. You get to know people only so much. You will hold part of yourself back. Or you go the other way and try to be best friends with somebody immediately. And you don't really have the boundaries that you need to establish friendships that last, you know, the ebb and flows of friendships. You need to be able to argue with people, get mad at people, move on from that, and it's okay. Where I think for me, I had a hard time doing that. If somebody did something I didn't like, or, you know, it was easy to just say, well, that's it, I'm going somewhere else, or move. I'll get a new best friend, or I'll just move if I don't like something that's going on, instead of working through it. Just leave. You know, the geographical cure. Yeah, it's very easy to do that. I know how to start and start again. But that's something that I've had to learn over time, because we're not taught those things. The grieving process. You're really not taught to grieve. You don't have time to grieve all the time. You leave one place, you're going to another place. You can't sit there and cry for the next year. You know, you have to make friends right away, move in, go there. One of the things that kids do is they reinvent themselves. They may be one place where, okay, they were this kind of personality and that didn't work so well. So when they go to a new place, then they're going to become a whole new different person. Well, the problem with that is you never kind of figure out who you are and what you want. You just become reflective of what's around you. And that can be a difficulty when you get older, because you just don't even know who you are.
You're lost in yourself.
You're an outsider. I think you'll find I don't know that anybody's ever done a study of this, but it would be interesting to go to the colleges and see how many military brats hang out with the foreign kids.
Really? Because you think there's an affinity for foreign kids? Because?
I think because you feel like an outsider, and they're outsiders. And so, you know, you kind of glom on to that, which is not a bad thing. It would be funny. It would be interesting to study that, I think.
Now, what about home, the sense of home, having the taproot?
We don't have a place that's a home, but our home is each other. It's with other military brats. And I think that I discovered that when I found the military brats that I had gone to school with in Daegu, Korea, which is how this whole film began, really. I was surfing the internet in 1997 and discovered a website for this very small school. There were 10 people in my ninth grade class. And we got together, about 15 of us, I think, from different years in Washington, D.C., and had like an impromptu reunion for about 3 or 4 days. Everybody left their spouses and their kids home. We had not seen each other in like 20 years. It was the best time. It was just a complete epiphany for me, because I looked around at all these people that looked completely different. We were all different kinds of races, and yet we were all the same. And I realized, that was the moment I realized, that I come from this unique culture, that I am not alone, that there are other people that feel the same way that I feel. And that's what started me on this project.
Our guest today is Donna Musil. She is the writer and director of a documentary, Brats, Our Journey Home, which she was showing at the Aztec on the Riverwalk here in San Antonio in a partnership with Brats Without Borders. So tell me about the film. Okay, so you go to this reunion of sorts in Washington with your overseas classmates from years ago. You have an epiphany. And what happens next?
I left the reunion and went home and started doing research about this project, and found out that nobody had ever made a documentary film about this subject. I found some wonderful books. One of them is called Military Brats: Legacies of Childhood Inside the Fortress by Mary Edwards Wirch, which was a wonderful book. And then I also reconnected with some other friends through militarybrat.com. It's a military brats registry. This is a wonderful site that people can go to. And you can get some of this information off our site, which is bratsfilm.com. Go to the links page and it'll hook you up. But I just started doing all the research, and then what I did was put together a questionnaire and put it up on the website, a very extensive questionnaire, and I received over 500 responses, some of which were up to 70 pages typed.
Wow.
From people. And I think it was because they had never talked about these things before. And I took those, and from all those questionnaires, that's how I made the film.
What kind of responses did you get on your questionnaires? What kind of things did you discover?
Well, it was very difficult, because I think people try to make this a very simple subject, and it's so not. I like to say that after I made this film, I have now become comfortable with paradox. Everything is paradoxical. Everything is one thing or another all at the same time. Well, I think what I discovered is what a lot of other people discovered too, is that they were not alone. That, I never realized how much these things affected my adult life. They saw them as somehow separate. Because that's really what happens when you're 18 or 23, unless you stay in the military, you completely leave that life. You can't go on base. You can't go back to your house. There isn't a house there. And even if you did go back there, nobody would know who you were. So it's almost like you cut that part of your life out and start all over again. But then when you find your military brat friends, you realize, oh, I really was part of this culture. And it's given me, just connecting with that has given me a sense of peace and belonging that I don't think I ever had. Now I know where I'm from. So when somebody asks me, where are you from? I don't bumble or say, oh, everywhere, laugh, I don't know, kind of thing. Now I say, I'm an Army brat. And I'm from this wonderful culture that I grew up in. And some of the things were very difficult. I mean, that's one of the things that I worry about as a Vietnam-era brat, is that the Iraq-era brats are going through the very same things that we did. It's very difficult to go through a war, the stress of having your parents gone, the stress of worrying, the stress of living in a very divided nation that really try to make everything political when really all you're worried about is whether your mom or dad are going to come home alive. That's a very difficult thing, and it's hard to talk to. Let's face it, a very small percentage of people in America are directly affected by this war, even less than there were in Vietnam. So these kids have nobody to talk to that understand what they're going through, mm-hmm. which is one of the reasons that we're forming a mentor program, Brats Without Borders is, to try to bring these groups together so the younger kids know that they're not alone.
So you can tell them, I know what you're going through. My dad went to a war back in the 70s or 60s, and this is what I felt, and I understand what you are going through.
Exactly.
To help them. Our guest today is Donna Musil. She's writer-director. Her film is Brats, Our Journey Home. So how long is the film, and how did you pick the Brats in it? Tell me about the movie.
The film is the first nonfiction documentary about growing up military and the profound effect that it has on our adult lives. Out of the 500 questionnaires that I received, I think I interviewed close to 50 people on tape. And after that, I spent a couple years editing in Austin, Texas, at another Bratz editing facility. Most of the people that worked on this film were Bratz. The film is 90 minutes long, and it features interviews with Bratz all over the country, including General Norman Schwarzkopf, who was a brat and the father of a brat. And also it's narrated and features songs by Kris Kristofferson, who is a father of brats. He also served in the military, and he was the son of a general in the Air Force.
How did you get him?
From the beginning of making this film, I knew that Kris Kristofferson is who I wanted to narrate this film. I had no idea how I was going to get in touch with him. I didn't know him from Adam. But one day when I was editing in Austin, Texas, somebody came in the room and they knew that I wanted Kris Kristofferson to narrate. And they said, hey, he's going to be in town in 3 days to give a concert. And I was like, okay. I had my little letter ready. It was one of the few times in life that I think preparation met opportunity. And I had my letter ready and I mailed it to his agent. And darned if they didn't call me that afternoon. And his daughter had seen the letter and said that she thought that this was something he might want to do. And 2 days later, I ended up meeting his wife and Chris, and turns out that they were actually in the small town in Germany, or he was in the small town Germany right after my father and my family were there, which I didn't know at the time.
So you had a bond with him.
Immediate.
A German bond,
a
yes.
German
uh-huh.
bond. And a couple months later, he agreed to do the film, and we were talking one day, and his wife was saying, you know, he's got a bunch of songs that would be just wonderful for this film. And I'm like, you know, I love it. I love his music. I'm a huge fan. But there's no way we can afford it. It's a small documentary project. And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. If I like it, you can use it. And so he told me later, he said, you can use anything I own. So he let us use a number of his songs. I think there are 8 of his songs featured in the film that he let us use for free.
How about that?
It was wonderful.
Isn't that neat?
He's been very supportive in his family, and it's been really wonderful.
That's great. Okay, so tell me about the other people in there. What experiences are they sharing in your film?
Well, we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in this film, and the regular brats, the non-celebrity brats that are in the film. I interviewed people from 20 years old to 70 years old, and they pretty much said the same thing. Now, we're talking about a group of an estimated 15 million brats around the country. So obviously, the film is not going to identically reflect every single person's life. What I tried to show was little epiphanies along the way, you know, how we were raised, how it affected us as adults. And if there were some issues that you needed to deal with, here are some ways to deal with them at the end.
What are some of the issues that military brats have to deal with in adulthood that people who were raised in the same town with the same friends, you know, the same group of folks, what kind of things do military brats face in adulthood that they might need help with?
Well, you know, I'd like to really touch on some of the positive legacies and then go to the more challenging legacies, if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
One of the most positive legacies of growing up brats is tolerance. Military brats have been going to integrated schools since 1948 and living in integrated neighborhoods. This is a huge difference, and that's one of the things that almost every brat said, that when they left that environment and went out into the civilian environment, it was very difficult to deal with all the prejudice that they encountered. They just didn't know how to deal with it.
That's true, because when you're military, you're one unit, one family, one base, one place. And then out in the civilian world, there's choices. People make choices.
Absolutely. And, well, military people are divided by rank. They're not divided by race. And it's just not something that we're used to. So when we get out into the environment, it's very odd for us. And you miss that. I think a lot of brats really miss that in that eclectic environment of lots of different kinds of people, which is why you'll find many brats congregating in areas that are very eclectic areas and have all different kinds of people.
Because they celebrate and recognize diversity and,
right.
and benefit from all the differences.
Right. Yeah. And you miss that. You don't want to live in a place that's just like you. And the minority brats feel that too. I think it's kind of funny that what's happening with Barack Obama, and he says that people are accusing him of not being black enough. Military brats who are minorities confront that all the time. Hispanic brats, Asian brats, African American brats, people are always telling him, well, you don't talk black. You don't act Hispanic. Why don't you really, you know, connect with your Asian roots? And a lot of times these people will feel like, I do connect with those roots and I'm very proud of that, but that's not all I am. And so they even have problems when they go back to their own families, and they just can't quite connect with those people. Another wonderful thing I think about growing up military is the sense of mission, a sense of doing something for somebody more than just yourself, is very different than in civilian society. The whole money motivating everything, obviously people don't join the military to make a lot of money. So we're not raised with that as a motivating factor in our lives. So it's hard sometimes when we get out and we're doing a lot of work, money doesn't necessarily seem to motivate a lot of brats, or they will make a lot of money and they still feel like it's not enough, that something, they need to be doing something more than that. And I think that comes from being a brat. You do get a wonderful education from traveling around the world that you would not have gotten otherwise. And I don't even know if it's necessarily all just from the schools, but just from being exposed to different places and different cultures. A lot of these kids grew up in places that, you know, in the middle of historical moments, they're watching this stuff. And no one's ever asked these kids how they felt, what they saw, what they experienced. I've met people that were in the middle of Nanking during the Rape of Nanking, who went to Japan and lived right after World War II, who lived in the occupation in Germany. Those are very eye-opening and life-changing events that a lot of times people don't talk about because no one else can relate. Brats are very resilient and they're survivors. The problem is sometimes they're too resilient and they don't really connect with a lot of the pain and some of the grief that has been in their life. It's very hard to leave everybody you know over and over and over again. And you're not a fool. I mean, little kids know that they can't completely connect all the time, or you'd go crazy. So in order to survive that, you almost have to put up a barrier in front of you. But that builds up over time. The psychotherapist in the film, Stephanie Donaldson-Pressman, who wrote this wonderful book called The Narcissistic Family. The premise of the book, The Narcissistic Family, is that any time a child's emotional needs are secondary to the needs of the parents, that child is affected in the same way. It doesn't matter what is taking precedence, whether it's alcoholism, whether it's the military mission, whether it's something else, it affects the kids all the same way. You'll find a lot of military brats have the symptoms of adult children of alcoholics even when there was not an alcoholic in the family. So it's a quite an interesting study that they've done and that they're doing.
You pointed out many good things, but then the drawbacks, you know, when you're talking about some of the good things, some of those had negative aspects of them, of that moving all the time. So let's go through the drawbacks, the things that make it difficult for children who were raised as military brats in adulthood.
For every good thing that we got out of it, there was a corresponding challenging thing that we got out of it. Military brats tend to be very disciplined when they're younger. When they grow up, sometimes they can be extremely stubborn and not know how to deal with the ebb and flow of life. You know, people are black and white and you're loyal and you never leave somebody. Well, sometimes you need to leave people. Sometimes you shouldn't be so loyal to people. And that's something I think we have to learn. We'll stay in bad situations long after and I say that, we're always calling people normal if they live in civilian society and then we're not normal. But, you know, a lot of times we'll stay in situations that we should have left a long time ago, that a civilian would have left a long time ago, mm-hmm. because we feel that we need to be loyal and we shouldn't leave and we should stay there and work it out. Military brats can talk to anyone. They can go anywhere. They have wonderful social skills. At the same time, they're not really sure who they are, some people. Now, this is not everybody, obviously, but they have difficulty not just being reflective, not just being a chameleon and being whoever they're with at the time that person wants them to be. That it's okay to have somebody be mad at you. It's okay to have a different opinion kind of thing. Baggage is something that military brats deal with as well. When we were moving so much, we had weight allowances, so your family could only take so much, which means that all your toys, a lot of times the things that really connected you to your past, got ditched and thrown away. We just couldn't afford to move everything. One of the things that happen when you get older and you leave that environment is that you tend to become a pack rat and you keep everything. And you'll see families that have brats in them will just have boxes and boxes of stuff all around their house and they won't throw anything out. Or conversely, what they'll do is they'll never get anything. You know, they don't put up, they'll live out of boxes. They'll live out of a suitcase. They won't put up curtains. Well, I'm going to move anyway. They don't connect to, which is very ironic because in the military, when you're younger, you immediately have to make connections with people. But when you get older, a lot of times what you'll do is say, well, I'm going to move anyway, so I'm not going to make any connections with anybody. One of the more difficult things about growing up military that's very different from civilian society is that whatever a family does can reflect immediately upon a soldier's career. That if the family does something that, if let's say a child is arrested for shoplifting, that goes on that soldier's record, or at least the families believe it goes on that record. And that soldier can actually lose his job or be demoted because of what the wife or the spouse or the children do. That's a lot of pressure on a little kid. And so when you grow older, a lot of times what that does is a lot of control. Kids that have control issues, they become control freaks, you know, or perfectionists. They try to do everything perfect so nobody will ever criticize them, or they won't get in trouble for those kind of things. That's what you bring with you, and you have to learn. I know what I do. I can't write anything if I make a mistake and cross it out. I've had to teach myself how to actually cross something out instead of throwing the whole thing away. And starting over again.
And you attribute that to growing up military?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do, because everything in the military is all about what it looks like, and for good reasons. You know, you want the enemy to know that you're prepared all the time. But, you know, you're a child, you're not a soldier. And so you take those things with you and you don't even realize, yes, I do connect it. I really do. And I've had to teach myself how to not be, that being a perfectionist is actually not a good thing, because then you're never satisfied, because you're never perfect. And maybe that's not connected to the military, but I saw it over and over and over and over again in the questionnaires that I received. Mm-hmm. Ironically, I think military brats can be very naive, considering they've lived all over the world. They tend to trust people very quickly. They tend to open up too quickly. That's what they did when they were growing up.
So that's a good thing and a bad thing.
It's a good thing and a bad thing, because I find that, and I know that I had this difficulty, the lack of boundaries that you need. There are some things that you don't talk about. There are things that you can keep private. But when everything that you do reflects on the soldier, everything's open game. So when you grow up, you know, you really live in this fishbowl, and the kids are doing this now. Although it has gotten better, one of the things that I just found out the other day, that now if a soldier dies during a war, the family can stay on base for up to a year afterwards, which that wasn't happening when I was a child. In Vietnam, if you died, or like when my father died, we were off base within 2 weeks. So the people that you needed the most, you not only had to deal with a death, you had to deal with the loss of everything else in your life. So there was nothing. And you kind of like cut that off. I remember just, well, my father died, okay. And then you try to move on, which you don't grieve. And so that grief gets stuffed down, and eventually you will have to grieve. And but it just took a long time to do that. Now they allow the families to stay on base if they're living in quarters for up to a year, or they can leave the base and take the housing allowance with them. I think it's really important for families to understand how important it is for children who have this happen to them to actually stay on the base, to stay with their friends, to have something that they can hold on to during this very difficult time. And I don't know that families really understand that, the spouses that are left. Maybe they do, but I think it's important that they listen to the kids. And that's another thing, is because the soldier's career is so dependent on his family as well, a lot of times people don't bring up things that are difficult. The kids are afraid to talk about things. They don't want to cause any problem for their families. Especially now, when all these soldiers are coming back, and they're coming back with post-traumatic stress and all these problems that are leading to drinking and just difficulties. It's hard to go to war and then to come back. You know, one day you're on the battlefield and the next day you're at home. Back in World War II, the men had time to talk to each other in the boat for 3 or 4 weeks before they came home. It wasn't one place and then the next. Today, you don't have that time. So there are a lot of difficulties when the soldier comes back and have to work back into the house. The dynamics between the family has changed. And what you see on television a lot is, oh, you know, they're very happy to have the soldier home. At the same time, while that soldier was gone, the family dynamics have changed. The mother or the father, in this instance, has taken over everything. The children have had more power. Now the soldier comes back into the house, and he or she wants to take over that house again. And the others aren't too happy about that. So all that has to be worked out again. And that's if somebody comes back with no problems. But I would say most people come back from war. It's affected them. I think I would be really concerned if it didn't affect them. And so they need to be prepared for that and to know it's going to take time to work back into these things. And that was one of the things that we had to deal with. And when there's no one to talk to, it's difficult. Particularly for National Guard families, I think it's very difficult, because they live out in the civilian society and they really have no one to talk to.
We are out of time, and so I want to thank you for stopping by. Our guest today is Donna Musil. She is the writer and director. Her documentary is Brats, Our Journey Home. Now, how can people see your documentary?
Brats, Our Journey Home will be airing on Armed Forces Network television worldwide outside the United States during the month of the military child in April. So if you have any friends that live overseas, please let them know. I think it would be wonderful if teachers and chaplains and people that work with these children take a look at the film as well. They're using it now to educate a lot of the teachers and the chaplains that really have to deal with the children, so they understand the kind of life these kids led. You can find out more about the film, and you can actually purchase a copy of the film if you'd like on our website at bratsfilm.com. If you'd like to see it with a group of brats, which is a wonderful thing to experience, I think, you can check on our website, and we're having a national tour right now. We're going across the country and showing the film. We're showing it for free as much as possible across the country in various places where there are a lot of brats, and we're going to end up in Washington, D.C. at the end of June, so for something that I like to call Brat Stock. And so if you'd like to join us there, it'd be a wonderful thing.
Okay, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.